and verse number 42. John chapter 11, verse 42 through 45. Everybody that believes in revival, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. John chapter 11, verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always. I love this. Jesus said, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And then I'd like to read, and we'll come back to John in a moment, but Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians 4 and 19. My little children, the 19th verse of the 4th chapter of Galatians, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. I travail in birth again. And Jesus looked to them that were there and said, loose him and let him go. I want to preach tonight in the fear of the Lord, in the presence of the Holy Ghost, on the subject, the second dimension of deliverance. The second dimension of deliverance. Let's thank our God tonight that we're a part of the Church of the Living God. Would you lift your hands and let's thank Him right now? Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, our Heavenly Father. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I am bound by the Holy Ghost not to seek to please men, not to try to turn an audience on, not to try to take advantage of a high moment, but to speak the counsel of God. And on this night, I do so in the fear of God. You may be seated. The second dimension of deliverance. The resurrection of Lazarus by Jesus is clearly the first dimension of deliverance. It was Jesus that called him out and resurrected him from the dead. There's no debate or discussion about the fact that the first dimension was performed entirely by the resurrecting voice of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Lazarus is a classic. It is the capstone of the resurrecting power of Christ while on earth. For Jesus used him as an illustration. You see, there were three times that our Lord ventured into the dark domain of death. The first time was the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus, who had just died, and the mourners were still there. And the Lord stepped in and brought her back to life. The second instance was the son of the widow of Nain, who had been dead long enough to be wrapped in grave clothes, put in a casket, and in the midst of a funeral procession. The third one is the classic, and that is the resurrection of Lazarus, who now had been dead for 4 days. They said, "Lord, by now he stinketh." But what Jesus wanted them to understand is that the degree of death is irrelevant. Whether they have just died, been dead long enough to be put in a casket in a funeral procession, or whether they've been dead for 4 days, he said, "I am the resurrection." And the degree of death does not matter. Hallelujah. I'm glad we preach a message tonight that can still resurrect even stinking sinners. Those who have been dead long enough in sin that by now they're smelling. But the gospel of Jesus will even resurrect them. Someone recently said, "Why is it in our church, Pastor, that we have so many former alcoholics? We have so many former drug addicts. It seems that our congregation is made up a lot of people who were nearly derelicts, who were the very worst of the earth. Why do they accumulate around our building?" I said, the answer is simple. Because when the others, with easy believism, can't touch them, when shaking preachers' hands won't change them, when signing the card won't give them new birth, there's an apostolic church that has the power of resurrection, that though they are dead, yet shall they live. Woo! Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." The call of Jesus today is found in Acts 2:38. That's the call of Jesus to all of the Lazaruses of our day. It's Acts 2:38. But wait a minute. I think we need a fresh look at that. What produced Acts 2:38? Acts 2:38 was the response to a question. And the question was, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" But what prompted the question? It was the capstone of conviction upon the Jewish nation. Because 2 and 36 of Acts says, Peter climaxing his message, said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." The next thing was, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I want you to know they found themselves in total depravity. They found themselves in total helplessness and hopelessness because they looked back through their history and they saw the antiquity of the Jewish Levitical law, all of the blood that was shed, all of the offerings that were made, and they were no different. They saw the stoning of prophets, and they were no different. The killing of those that God had sent to them, and they were no different. Fiery-tongued prophets who spoke as oracles of God, and they were no different. A Bethlehem manger, and they were no different. One walking on the water, and they were no different. One that emptied his tomb, and they were no different. And then Peter said, "I'm going to tell you who you crucified. The Lord of glory." And they said, "My, Is there any hope for us? Is there any salvation for us? Then Peter said,
yes.
I don't care how many prophets you've killed. I don't care how many you've stoned. I don't care how long you've rejected. Acts 2:38 can make you right with God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
I would have loved to have been there when Brother Lazarus came walking out of that cold tomb. Hallelujah. You think it wasn't shocking? You think it wasn't alarming? You think it wasn't disturbing? Hallelujah. I don't know if they knew anything about it or not, but all his buddies would have been mighty jealous.
Come on.
When Lazarus began to quiver, wrapped like a mummy, and said, I'm sorry, fellas. I'm fixing to punch out. I know many folks hadn't been where I've been and come back. But something on the other side is drawing me. Something on the other side is calling me. Hey, do you know you were dead in sins? You were dead in trespasses, but the resurrection drew you and called you, and you said goodbye to all the other dead folks.
Hallelujah.
However, when Lazarus came forth, the work of Jesus seemed to end. For at that point, He turned to them that were nearby. And it seemed to be that He indicated, the job's not finished. The work is not done. Because Lazarus was alive, but not loose. He was found, but he was still bound. He had life, but he had no liberty. Jesus didn't do it, but he turned to those nearby and said, I resurrected him. I resurrected him. Now, you loose him and let him go. I resurrected him. You fellas get him in a condition where he can go. You fellas get him in a condition where he can travel. I resurrected him. You loose him and let him go. I want to tell the saints of God right now, every time your pastor comes to the pulpit, you ought to shout.
All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because I believe that Jesus has designated the second dimension of deliverance to the ministry. And he says, now I resurrected them, boys. Take that book and go to that pulpit and loose my people. Get them ready to go. Get them freed up so they can travel. And every time your pastor comes to the pulpit, he hasn't come to bind you. He hasn't come to limit you. He hasn't come to restrain you. He hasn't come to restrict you. But he's come to set you free.
Praise God.
Some other translations of the definition of the word loose were unwrap, unbind, and untie. I rebuke the lie from hell that says the apostolic ministry binds children of God.
Come on. That's good preaching.
pastor, don't hesitate to preach this book. You're not binding them. Jesus said, unwrap them. Untie them. Unbind them. Get the grave clothes off of them. Let me tell you, woo! You don't get deliverance from the UPC so you can have liberty.
Right.
You don't get deliverance from the UPC to get liberty.
Right.
You get liberty by a man of God taking this book and hacking the world off of you and cutting sin off of you. That's how you get liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the responsibility and the privilege of the ministry to loose, unwrap, unbind, and untie what Jesus has resurrected.
All right. That's beautiful. Hallelujah.
I tell you tonight, the grave clothes have got to go. I said the grave clothes have got to go. I wanted this to be an apostolic camp meeting. I believe you want it to be an apostolic camp meeting. And so I feel like there's some things that need to be said. And if they don't do a bit of good, you can write it down and say, at the apostolic camp meeting, it was said. Because there's a lot of folks that ain't got the backbone to say it. There's a lot of folks that are too crowd pleasers to say it. But God didn't call me to please men. He called me to set men free. Cut them loose. Unwrap them. Untie them. Unbind them. Let them go. By grave clothes, Brother Huntley, what are you talking about? I'm talking about anything that associates, identifies, connects, and links us to the dead, lifeless, perishing pit from whence we have been called. Did not on resurrection morning an angel say, why seek ye the living? Among the dead, our world is sick of shysters. Our world is sick of fakes. Our world is sick of facades with Hollywood holiness. Mercenary money mongrels. I tell you, they're ready for old-fashioned apostolic Bible preaching and living. This is the finest hour for Christ-like character, Holy Ghost honesty, the righteousness of Jesus imparted, separation from the world, and old-fashioned Bible convictions against worldliness. I refuse to accept the theory that you cannot grow without compromise.
Come on. Hallelujah.
I refuse to believe that you have to let down the Bible standards of separation from the world and holiness to grow. I reject that. I resist that. I rebuke that. It's a lie. Last night I said I wanted my grandchildren, if God tarried, not to be raised in a dead church. Tonight I want to go on record on the last night to say I don't want my grandchildren raised in a worldly church. The book still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the book still says, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out from among them and be ye separate. Along with shouting, along with tongue talking, along with healing, along with rejoicing, this church has always had holiness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
One word to the ministry. We have no right to preach anything less than what the Bible and our forefathers have given us.
All right. That's good. That's good. That's good.
God told the prophet, He said, when I speak to you and I tell you to give a message to the people, He said, you go deliver your soul. And if you don't, you will be judged. I say we have no right to compromise without falling into judgment. I've heard folks all my life, especially when I was young, say when a pastor took the pulpit, they'd say, oh, God bless him. Help him deliver his soul tonight. And Brother Deez, I thought what they were saying is God help him to, you know, get it all out. God give him liberty. God give him strength. God give him boldness. God give him direction. Help him to say it like it ought to be said, Jesus. Help him to deliver his soul. Until I began to study a little deeper. And I found out that when God gives a man a message, he is bound before God with that message until he proclaims it. And then he is delivered. Preacher, the only way you can be saved is to preach.
Right.
The only way you can be saved is to preach and not just what you like. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We got to preach it all. What we like and what we don't like. Let's worship God just a minute. And I'm here to tell you tonight, in camp meeting, that the Bible still speaks about modesty.
Amen.
It still talks about ladies not wearing men's apparel.
Yeah, right.
It still talks about men not wearing ladies' apparel. It still says that women should not cut their hair, and if they do, it's sin. It still says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It still says that we should not have excessive jewelry. It still says, set no wicked thing before thine eyes. It still says it. It still says it. And I pray to God there's an apostolic camp meeting in Ohio that declares we still believe it. You may be seated. I got to hurry. Some of our pastors are under a lot of pressure. Saints, you can help them. Saints, you can help them. Here's what I want you to do tonight. To let them know you're going to help them. Shout after me. Preach it, preacher. Shout, preach it, preacher. Shout, preach it, preacher. It may not be sweet right now, but if we're in grave clothes and we want to be free, cut the cords of the world. Be not entangled again. Be free. To the new converts and the saints, let me say quickly, Jesus came into the synagogue. The Bible said there he met a spirit of an unclean devil. My Lord, what was that? A homosexual? A lesbian? Adulterer? What kind of spirit was that? Jesus said it was the spirit of an unclean devil. How does the Bible describe it? There's only three words that describe that devil. It said, let us alone. And I join with Jesus. And I say, any spirit in the church that says, preacher, let us alone, is an unclean spirit of a devil. Jesus said it was. Saints don't say slack up. Saints don't say back up. Saints say get me ready so I can go up. We've preached a long time about David bringing that ark into Jerusalem. I love it. He took six steps. The Bible said they went six paces. One, two, three, four, five, six. Maybe bigger ones than that. But I mean, they had just got started. And all of a sudden, David started shucking stuff. And the Bible said he danced before the Lord with all of his might.
Hallelujah.
He got with it.
Hooray.
And some folks say, now I know that's not God. We just barely got church started. If you live for God 24 hours of the day, it don't take you long to shout.
Come on. That's good.
have to be petted up, pumped up, propped up, or primed up. I got it down in me. I got it down in me. And it don't take you long when you got it. He went 6 steps and he started tearing it up. Because the Ark of the Covenant was coming home. But hang on. Woo! This sets my wood on fire. There were 3 things in that ark.
Come on.
The pot of manna, which represented miraculous provision. Aaron's rod that budded, that represented miraculous power. The tablets of stone that represented the commandments. The law of God. It fell into the hands of heathens. And when Israel got it back, 1 Kings 8 and 9 says, there was nothing in the ark save the tablets of stone.
Come on.
The heathen said, we'll take miraculous provision.
Right. Yeah.
The heathen said, we'll take miraculous power.
Yes.
But they shoved Israel's law back in their face.
Yeah.
And said, you can have the law. And when the ark got to Israel and David shouted, there was no miraculous provision. The manna was gone. There was no miraculous power. Aaron's rod was gone. All that was there is the tables of stone. All that was there. You may be seated. Now if you shout with the choir and you can't shout with the word, sit down. If you can juke and jive with the choir, and you can't juke a jive with the word, sit down. If you can run with the music, but you can't run with the message, sit down. We're not built on a shout. We're not built on emotion. We're built on the Word of God. Come to camp meeting tonight, not to bind you, not to wrap you, not to tie you up, but to loose you with the sword of the Spirit. You may be seated. Let me tell you how it is in Raleigh. When the drummer can't move them. When the choir director can't shake them. When the choir can't turn it. I say, sit down. I know what will.
Yeah. Come on.
And then I get in the pulpit. Right.
Right.
And they start coming loose. Grave clothes start flying. Because the Word of God will set the church free. Get your Bible. Some of you men. I want a bunch of you to get your Bibles. Run over here on the platform. Come behind me. Just stand over here. The devil says Acts 2:38 is enough. No, it's not. Jesus said, I resurrected them. Now you take the book. Come on, let's go. And with the word of God, we will set this church free. Shout, preach it, preacher. Shout, preach it, preacher. It is not the noise of the wicked. Say that. Say it. It is the silence of the good. Preacher, if you got convictions, preach them. Our young preachers need to know not everybody's going charismatic. I said our young preachers need to know not everybody's going charismatic. And there ain't but one thing going to keep our saints from going charismatic. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. You may be seated. But you say, Brother Huntley, I get tired of preaching it. I get tired of taking a bath.
I don't get tired of preaching it. Me either. Me either. Me either. Me.
Shut up, devil. God's got a church. God's got an apostolic church. A church is getting free so we can go. I'll try to quickly close. A lot of folks are doing a lot of evaluating. I'm doing a lot of evaluating. I want to know what I ought to do and what I shouldn't do. But I am 100% convinced tonight that separation from the world and holiness within and without is absolutely necessary. You say, how do you know, Brother Huntley? I'm going to show you a few things right fast. Why Lazarus had to get the grave clothes off. The first reason is, if you know anything about how they wrapped them when they were dead, he come out like a mummy. Do you know anything about how the devil wraps dead sinners? He can just barely get out to where Jesus is. And he's wrapped from head to toe like a mummy. You see, grave clothes are designed for dead folks.
Right. Come on.
And even though you come alive by the resurrection, if somebody don't get them off of you, you will die again. Because Lazarus could not breathe in grave clothes. And if somebody hadn't loosed him and let him go, he would have lost one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament. In a little while, he'd have fell over from suffocation, because grave clothes don't have air holes in them. And you tell me it's not necessary? I'm telling you it's absolutely necessary that even though Jesus resurrects you, you hold still and let somebody cut them things off you. Years ago, Sister Huntley and Christy and I were preaching at Bethel Tabernacle in Houston, Texas. We were assistant pastor there for a while, Brother Orrin Ray Foss. We came in late one night. We were staying in evangelist quarters. We came in late one night, and there was a weird object in the road. Scared me to death. I thought it was a headless horse or a headless something. It was pitching around in the road. And it looked like it didn't have a head. I thought, my Lord, what is it? Finally, my wife took note that it was a dog. And this dog had been digging around in trash. And there was a huge mayonnaise plastic container. Plastic jug. And that dog was sticking his lips there, licking out the mayonnaise. And he got carried away. And his head... inside the mayonnaise container. And he was out in the middle of the road going, trying to sling that thing off. And he was going, I went over and I thought, my Lord, he's going to bite us. I'm scared of him. I'd have probably stood there and let him asphyxiate. My wife said, we got to do something. We got to suffocate. Find something. I don't know what we got, but we cut a hole in that jug. And when we got a hole in that jug, that dog went... If he'd have been smoking a cigarette, he'd have took it all in one drag. You talk about sucking in. I mean, he got him a drag. And we finally got that thing off of him. Then our new converts come to church and they're... What's wrong with these folks? Pastor, I got the puniest bunch of saints I've ever seen in my life. You need to take the sword and cut them some air holes. Get those grave clothes off. The next thing is, grave clothes hampered his progress. He could not get far from where he was dug out. A God till somebody cut the grave clothes. Hey, the devil knows the church ain't going to go far wrapped up in the world. He knows we're going to cripple on. But when preachers cut the church loose, the next thing is, he could not. Brother Fuller, you come help me. Brother Baker, he's incapacitated. Just hold the mic. This is your chance to preach a camp meeting. And what do they let you do? Be a mic stand. Wrapped in grave clothes. He could not praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saint. Praise the Lord, everybody. But when they took that book and loosed him, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! I'm going to say it. Most churches that I've seen that were worldly were also dead. The next point is, he had a testimony, but he couldn't share it. Point. Do what? You know what I said? I've been resurrected. I've been resurrected. Folks standing around said, what did he say? I don't understand it. And you shout, I've been resurrected all day. But if you're still wearing grave clothes, they can't understand that. You don't look like resurrection to me. You look like a funeral in progress. You don't look like you dress for Easter. You look like you dress for the cemetery. God's church doesn't need to wear grave clothes. They need to put on the garment of praise and the armor of the Lord. Let's everybody stand and praise Him. Remain standing. If you've ever flown a kite, you'll know. Does a string hold a kite down, or does it hold it up? You boys that flew kites, you know, once the string loses its attachment, the kite's coming down. Holiness does not keep this church down. It holds us up. I woke up one morning with this scripture on my mind. I felt like the Lord gave me a revelation. I'll share it with you in closing. Hebrews 12 and 14. What does it say? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now one fella interpreted that verse to mean this. If you get to heaven without holiness, you're going to be blind as a bat. Because the Bible said you can't see the Lord. I always felt like it meant, without holiness, you're just not going to make it. I think we ought to tell the devil something just right now before we finish this message. I believe with all my heart we are burning his high. Shout, I love holiness. You hear me, devil? Listen to it, you lying compromisers. God still got an apostolic church. But here's why the devil hates holiness. The Lord gave me this understanding in the middle of the bed. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It hit me. Oh, I see now. Now, I know why the devil doesn't want the church to be holy. Because without holiness, the guys on the job will never see Jesus. Without holiness, the next door neighbors will never see Jesus. Without holiness, your family members will never see Jesus. Peter said, in the last days, it's going to get so good that we should be ready to give reason of the hope that lieth within us. Peter said, in the last days, church, you're going to be so marvelously peculiar, so wonderfully different, that everywhere you go, they're going to be saying, street vernacular, what's up with you? What's up with you? One man in my church, guy on the job said, what are you on? He said, Jesus. You look different. What's wrong with you? What's up with you? Jesus said, I don't want you to ever lose holiness, because you'll lose the what meaneth this, and they'll quit asking you, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Say that some things we can't do and still be holiness. If it is, God don't want you doing it. I like to water ski, and you ought to see me with my right sleeve links and my jeans on. People gonna find fault. What's that? That's one of God's boys. That's one of God's boys. Different. Peculiar. Called out. Separate. We'll close with this. Read, Brother Fuller.
Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees.
Hold it, let them catch up with you there.
Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees.
When did they gather? After Lazarus was resurrected and after Lazarus had been loosed. Go ahead.
They gathered a council and said,
I had a guy come to my church. They were going to build a new building. Here's a denominational preacher. He said, I want to come over and look at your building. We'd like to get some ideas. I said, sure. He said, I'm not going up in the baptistry area. He said, I'm afraid you'll throw me in. He saw the building. He saw the space. What kind of crowd you having? And I told him. He said, my Lord. I think I'm not preaching right. He said, hell. After all, doesn't that have a whole lot to do with why we're Christians? We don't want to go to hell. We want to be saved. He said, I must not be preaching it hard enough. Read.
What do we?
What are we going to do about this guy, man? What are we going to do? Go ahead.
For this man doeth many miracles.
He's doing many miracles. Like raising the dead. And then like getting grave clothes off of them. Hear me? Raising the dead is a mighty miracle. But in 89, getting the grave clothes off of them is a miracle too. And you don't get that unless you do what Paul said. I travail in birth again that Christ may be formed in you. The second dimension of deliverance.
If we let him thus alone,
if we leave him alone,
all men will believe on him.
Everybody is going to believe on him. When Jesus resurrects the church and the preachers get the grave clothes off of them, all the world's going to believe on him.
And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.
They're going to put us out of business. I'm telling you, folks are tired of going to church, shaking a preacher's hand, and going home and sinning and not being changed. They're ready for the change. They're ready for the difference. Woo! Let's go back off of holiness. Let's get the grave clothes off. Let's get ready to go out.
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, when I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Time to go.
grave gonna hold my body down. Get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave.